Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and I'm the host for Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and engaged active citizens that are working to address them. And hopefully you'll be inspired to think about how you're making a difference with your deeds. We are well into April now, and it is a beautiful April day out there. I hope you all are enjoying it. But April is marked as National Child Abuse Prevention Month. A lot of nonprofits do a great job working to prevent child abuse and neglect. One that comes to mind is Greater Richmond Scan, or Stop Child Abuse Now. And they have a great resource with their Families Are Magic website that I would encourage you to check out. That's famrichmond.org for Families Are Magic Richmond. But unfortunately, despite the education efforts, the outreach and prevention work that's going on, children are still being abused and neglected on a daily basis in our community. When cases get to the level of court proceedings to determine how best to address the needs of an abused or neglected child, rigid laws and regulations don't always take into consideration the individual needs and what's really going to be best for that individual child, and how to ensure their best chance of a safe, permanent, and loving home. So who speaks up for that child? Well, locally, there are a number of compassionate, well-trained volunteers that serve as advocates and speak up for those children. Court-appointed special advocates, or CASA programs, have providing this critical service in the courts for several decades now. And here to tell us about what they do for children and how you can get involved are Ruth Ann Cutright, the Executive Director of Chesterfield CASA, and Linda McDonald, one of their superstar volunteers. Ruth Ann and Linda, welcome.
Thank you for having us today.
It's very nice for you to take time out of your schedule to join us. Now, Ruth Ann, why don't we start with a little bit of information about what CASA programs are all about. So it stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, correct?
Exactly. And CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates, is what we call our volunteers who actually do the advocacy for these abuse and neglected children. These are typically kids who have come to the attention of the court system, usually through the Department of Social Services. So someone has alerted DSS that something is going on in this child's life, and Social Services has gone and done at least some partial investigation and determined that, yes, there does need to be court intervention in this family to make sure that the child is kept safe. In some instances, they can leave the child in their home or put them with other relatives while the family kind of gets themselves together and gets some services and interventions in place. In other instances, social services decides that the home isn't safe for the child to live in, and so they actually will remove them and put them in foster care. And in both of those instances, social services then goes to the court and has a judge then sort of begin intervention and overseeing the process to make sure that the child has a good outcome at the end of the day.
So you're getting most of your referrals then through departments of social services?
Well, we actually get all of our referrals have to come through the court. There's actually a CASA court order of appointment. So all programs in Virginia, that's how they would get referrals for children who need our services.
So you're working directly with the courts on the children that would best benefit from your services.
Exactly. I like to tell people sort of a shorthand for CASA is that we serve as the eyes and the ears for the court system.
And the eyes and ears of the child in some ways.
Exactly. Absolutely. Uh-huh. CASA is really there to make sure that these children are represented in court. There's an attorney that every child will have, typically called a guardian ad litem attorney, who represents their legal interest. But CASA is there to make sure that they don't sort of fall through the cracks. The child welfare system is huge. Social workers and attorneys have lots of cases on their caseload, and it's difficult for them to commit an intense amount of time for those children because there's just so many of them that they're having to deal with. What CASA does, and sort of the basic concept, is that we would take volunteers and assign them to typically one case at a time so they really can focus their effort and attention on that one child or sibling group and make sure that their story gets told to the judge.
So the process works, and you would receive a referral from the courts, and then with the CASA program, you're with Chesterfield CASA, so you're working specifically with Chesterfield Courts.
Chesterfield,
correct?
And Colonial Heights, yeah. Right.
Okay, and so there are other CASAs that are working with the other jurisdictions, correct?
Absolutely. I believe there's 27 programs across Virginia right now who are operating CASA programs. Here in the metro area, there's also programs in Richmond and Ricoh County, Hanover, and Goochland.
Okay, and so the volunteers get engaged in whatever locality they live in.
Exactly, live or work. We sort of have an informal agreement around our programs here locally that if a citizen calls and is interested in volunteering, we'll kind of assess where they live and work, and then if it feels like another program would be a better fit for them, we'll give them their contact information.
Okay. So getting back to the children that you're serving, it sounds to me that these are children that have been through a lot. If it's gotten to the point where they have been recommended for potentially being removed from their home, from their family, from their parents. So the CASA volunteers are working with very complex cases. Is that correct?
We are, absolutely. And so really we train our volunteers very carefully about all of the things that they're likely to encounter, the different professionals that they'll work with. Essentially what happens once a court order is given to the CASA office, we'll find a volunteer that is available and would be a good match with that case. Every volunteer is assigned a staff supervisor in our office who kind of will guide them and help them through the process. But typically, the volunteer will go and begin making home visits so they can see the child and the other family members that are involved. And then just begin collecting information. This is kind of where the eyes and the ears part comes in. Our volunteers will talk to or request records from physicians, dentists, therapists, teachers, guidance counselors, anybody really who has interaction with that child and can give the CASA volunteer a better picture of exactly what's happening in their life, what's going well for the family and what we can build on in terms of strengths, and then areas that we really need to focus on and where the court should be concerned and look at offering services and interventions.
And so those volunteers must receive a lot of training to be able to identify those things.
We do. Our training program is very intense. Our program offers almost 40 hours of training. National standards require that programs have to do at least 30 for volunteers before they're actually sworn in as CASA volunteers. We do that over the course of a couple months in our program. The other metro CASA programs will do that differently and have different schedules. But yes, we really are looking to make sure that volunteers understand what they're getting into and the level of responsibility that's required of them. And we want to arm them with the tools and the information so that they feel comfortable when they go out and begin doing this work. We say that folks don't need to have any special background to be a CASA volunteer. Our standards require they have to be at least 21 years old. But really, as long as we have someone with heart and passion and the time to devote to this work, we can train them and then supervise them to make sure that they feel comfortable in the work that they're doing.
So, Ruthann, how much time would a volunteer, you said at least 40 hours of training up front, but once they're engaged as a volunteer, how much time does that demand from somebody's schedule?
We say typically it takes 15 hours a month. That really is an average. It depends on the complexity of the case, how many children are involved. Sometimes we have children who are in multiple placements, which may mean multiple schools and multiple physicians, so that might take longer. Also depends on exactly where in the process the case is. So early on, when a volunteer first gets a case, they'll spend more time because they really are having to go out, make the connections and the relationships.
And do that information gathering.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then when report writing comes, which is every volunteer's favorite part of the process, really the point of CASA is that volunteers will go and get information about the child, and then they take that information and synthesize it and put it in a written report that goes directly to the juvenile court judge. And we will do a report every time a case returns to court, which sometimes is multiple times over the duration of a case. So we want to make sure that volunteers collect information, get accurate information. They're talking to everybody that has information to go on before we prepare those reports. That process obviously takes a lot of time.
Sure.
The volunteers typically will write the report. They'll share it with their supervisor. They'll go back and forth to make edits and go back and collect perhaps more information follow up to make sure they've got exactly what they need to. And then the program supervisor or director actually sees the report finally, does a few more edits, and goes back and forth before that's mm-hmm. submitted to the court. So that process takes a lot of time.
Yeah, I would imagine it would. So it is an intensive volunteer commitment, but it sounds like it's also very rewarding.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to Linda in a minute about how she's gotten a lot of out of her volunteer experience with CASA. So Ruth Ann, why don't you share first a little bit of contact information about where people can learn more about how to get involved with court-appointed special advocates?
Sure. Well, here in the Richmond area, as I mentioned, there's three programs mainly. Our program that serves Chesterfield and Colonial Heights, a program in Henrico County, and another one in Richmond, which actually is housed under Greater Richmond SCAN, as you mentioned in the intro. And we actually have one website, metrorichmondcasa.org, that sort of is a clearinghouse for our three programs. So listeners could go there and then click on the program that would interest them the most, and it'll direct them to our individual websites with information about
Okay, great. So metrorichmondcasa, CASA.org.
Exactly.
Is a place to go find information about Richmond CASA, Henrico CASA, or Chesterfield CASA.
Exactly.
Well, that's nice that you have it all in one place like that.
Yes, we designed that a couple of years ago, so it was an easy way for us to kind of collectively get our message out to folks in the community.
Good. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can hear about previous shows on the Inspire Indeed blog, which is inspireindeed.blogspot.com. But today we're learning about CASA, or court-appointed special advocates, and the programs that are serving our region and the children that are benefiting from their care within the justice system. Ruth Ann's been sharing a little bit of background about CASAs, but I'd love to hear from you, Linda. Linda McDonald's one of the volunteers with Chesterfield CASA. So how did you first learn about CASA?
When I got ready to retire, I did some research into community activities just to choose something that I could focus on when I retired, and I chose CASA because my work career had been at the federal court, and that's definitely a place where you see the end result of a child whose life has gone off the tracks, and he ends up standing in front of a court for sentencing with felony convictions. So my thought was that perhaps I can make a difference earlier in a child's life that would lead to a different path. Mm-hmm. So that's why I chose CASA, just try to have an impact on that cycle.
Were you ever intimidated? Might not be the right word, but was it ever daunting going into it, just thinking about all the training and what would be involved?
It is, particularly for a new volunteer. It, like anything new, it can be overwhelming, but the CASA staff is right there, so you're never really alone. And I never always tell people you're not thrown into the deep end of the pool mm-hmm. Alone. So you always have the staff. You have a supervisor, you have the other staff members, and you have the other volunteers who have often had the same experience or a case similar that you can rely on as well for help.
So there are ways that you can talk to other volunteers about their experiences.
Yes, we
well,
have,
get together. And...
Yes, we have some social functions, and that is a time that we can talk about our cases and what did you do here and how did you handle that. So
oh, I bet that'd be really helpful.
Yeah, the information about our cases we can't share with family members or friends. So the social aspect of CASA does give the volunteers a chance to talk to each other about their cases, since it's not something we can talk about with yeah. everyday mm-hmm. In our everyday lives.
Right, mm-hmm. right, which is appropriate because mm-hmm. it's very confidential
yes.
information and you want to preserve the rights of the child
yes.
and the family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have been involved for how long now?
I've been a volunteer for 5 years.
Oh, 5 years. Mm-hmm. So you've probably seen a number of cases over those 5 years. Then,
I have advocated mm-hmm. for seven children at
seven
this point.
Seven children mm-hmm. you've been mm-hmm. you've advocated mm-hmm. for. So, as I mentioned earlier, I'm imagining these are really complex cases, maybe emotionally draining from time to time. So how do you stay motivated and kind of keep going in this area of volunteering that I think, you know, could be leading to burnout for some folks? How do you keep going?
Well, each case is different. Mm-hmm. So, and you can, you know, take a month or so off. You don't have to go in one case today and start another case tomorrow. So you mm-hmm. have that respite in between.
A chance to recharge
right.
a bit. Uh-huh.
And you have to really look at it as even if a case doesn't end exactly like you hoped it would, you definitely made a difference in some way, whether it's having secured help with the parents getting parenting skills and learning how to be a better parent, or reuniting a family, or even if the children have been removed, seeing that they're in a loving home now. So even if the case doesn't have your most optimistic outcome, you have to look at it as though you have helped that child in some way, or that family in some way, and they've got to be in a better place, hopefully, mm-hmm. at the end of your time with them than they were when they started.
Mm-hmm. So you must have been pretty touched and moved by some of the cases you've been
working on. You have to keep your perspective. Mm-hmm. Makes you appreciate your children, you know, uh-huh. and makes you realize that the problems you think you have are probably, you know, not that bad.
Yeah, when you look at the scale yeah. of how things mm-hmm. can go. So do you have any examples of a, I don't know, like a success story or a time when you felt like you really made a difference in a child's life?
I did have one child that I worked with for 3 years, and he was in a resident school, so he was able to finish and get his high school diploma, first one in his family. The case didn't end in the way I would have, might have chosen, but not when I look back on it, he does have his high school diploma. Mm-hmm. He would not have had it if CASA and the court system had not been involved. So you have to take your victories sometimes mm-hmm. in little small increments. Mm-hmm.
But that's
because it's not going to be a big success right. every time, because you're dealing with social services, you're dealing with the court, and you're dealing with families that have issues.
And, you know, that's how success happens. It right. is one step at a time.
Right.
And so when you make one positive difference in this child's life from one aspect, they're having support and guidance that didn't exist before.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you were working and advocating for this child or this youth for 3 years, you were a consistent, positive voice in that person's life that wouldn't have been there otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Ruthann, remind us again where people can learn more about CASAS.
To go to any of the websites for the Metro Richmond sites, it is metrorichmondcasa.org.
Great. Now, we've been talking about specifically the role of the CASA volunteer, which is what you're all about, of course. But are there other ways that people can participate if they aren't ready to go through the training or commit to a long-term case? Are there other ways that volunteers or people can help out CASAS?
Most of our programs do have events that support the work that we do. We are very volunteer-driven, which I think is a nice part of CASA and sets us apart from a lot of organizations. But we do have some expenses to train and supervise the volunteers. And so all
right.
of the programs will do special events to support their work. We at Chesterfield CASA have joined with Henrico CASA to put on, this year will be our fourth annual superhero run. That's going to be on April 27th at St. Joseph's Villa. And so if folks are looking for a way to get involved and they don't have the time or energy to kind of put forth the full commitment to doing CASA volunteer work, we'd love to have them come out and support our work in that way. The tagline for that event is "Every child needs a hero, but abused children need superheroes." And so it's a nice way for us to talk in the community about how our volunteers are serving as superheroes, folks
Great.
Like Linda, who truly have been superheroes for the children they're advocating for. So this is a nice way to get the community engaged in sort of a similar way to come out and have fun with their own families, a healthy, positive interaction between parents and children, but also supporting CASA's mission.
So it's on Saturday, April 27th, you said?
Exactly.
At St. Joseph's Villa, and there's information about that.
That actually, we have an event website specifically for the superhero one, which is just CASARun.com.
CASARun?
Exactly. CASARUN.com.
Great. And you said that's a family event, so there's more than just a run going on there.
Exactly. We actually do a kids fun run for children 12 and under, and then a 5K race that we will go through the historic campus of St. Joseph's Villa. We've been fortunate to partner with them the last several years to hold the event, so it's nice to showcase their beautiful campus there.
And it's nice because they have a complementary mission to
exactly.
the work they're doing.
We talked a lot about collaboration, which is nice between our two CASA programs at Henrico in Chesterfield. It was nice to include them as well in this neat way. Mm-hmm. And then following both of the races, we actually do a big family fun festival so children can play carnival games. We have moon bounce and giant obstacle course. We're going to have a new photo booth set up with superheroes who are coming from Northern Virginia, actually, to be with us this year.
Oh, like in costume?
Exactly. Oh, really cool. They're called the East Coast Avengers. And so we're excited to have them and think children will really enjoy interacting with them.
Do people dress up like in capes and stuff?
They do. In fact, when we started, we probably had half of our participants, I would say, came in costume. And it's grown now to where the vast majority of people do. We actually do prizes for the best costumes in different age groups. So people are trying to outdo themselves from year to year, we've noticed. But it's really great. We've got a lot of positive feedback from runners in the past who have said this is one of the few events where they can bring their children out who can actually participate. So parents can run the 5K and watch their kids do the kids run and then do the family fun piece afterwards.
Yeah, so something for everybody
exactly,
in the family.
Exactly, yes, which is nice for us at CASA to have, again, showcase positive interactions between family members.
So you're currently taking registrations for the run then?
Yes, absolutely. We'll take those up until the day of the run, actually.
Okay, great. And are you still in need of volunteers for that event as well?
You know, we actually are pretty well covered for that.
Oh, good.
But we still
That's
have great. Plenty of runner registration places available, so we'd love to have people come out. And if they don't want to run, they're also welcome to come and just be spectators and see the event.
Do a moon bounce.
Exactly, yes.
Great. Well, I'm curious about if CASAs have experienced any changes in the types of cases that you've been addressing over the past, I don't know, maybe the past 10 years, the past decade. Have there been any emerging trends related to child welfare cases that have impacted your services at all?
Our programs have seen in the past couple of years, social services has worked very hard to try to keep cases out of court if at all possible. Their belief is that families are really the ones who know best how to take care of themselves, and that if things aren't going the way that they should, is there a way that we can offer some intervention as government? But then once they are stable, kind of send them on their way so that they don't really have the court or social services sort of hanging over their head. So we saw for a while a drop in the number, particularly of foster care cases that we saw. Social services was working very hard to see if they could find relatives who were available to care for these children. We have seen now in our programs kind of a rise back to more foster care children and those who are coming in with protective orders from the court. I think families found it difficult oftentimes to deal with children who have been through the abuse that they've suffered in these cases. And even relatives who had the best of intentions in wanting to help, you know, their other children relatives, there wasn't money for services, and it was difficult for them to really figure out what to do with mm-hmm. these children. Mm-hmm. So we've seen now a slight turn back to the number of cases that really do have court intervention. And the foster care cases as
okay,
well.
So that's really a change in the administration of, or the departments of social services and their philosophy
exactly.
kind of shifting
yes.
back and forth. And what about the children themselves? Have the nature of the cases changed at all? Or
We haven't really seen a change in them. You know, the mm-hmm. vast majority of our cases are deal with physical neglect, okay. which is pretty typical of child abuse mm-hmm. across the board, so mm-hmm. we see that as well. I know Henrico CASA has expressed a need for more Hispanic volunteers because they've seen a rise in that population. Mm-hmm. And I know not necessarily a change in children, but all of our programs are always happy to have men who are interested in volunteering. About half of our caseload tends to be male. And so while it's not necessary to have a man connected with boys, particularly for teenage ones, it's nice, I think, to have men who can step up and be a role model as they're doing their advocacy work.
Yeah, that's a good point, because sometimes having that positive male voice in their life, they might not have it
exactly.
otherwise.
Yes.
Yeah. So you mentioned Henrico is looking for additional bilingual volunteers,
yes.
right? So
yes.
that kind of is interesting to think about the demographic shifts and how that might change your services in the future.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I was wondering was the ages of the kids that you serve. What is the age range?
We get them birth through 18 years of age.
Oh, so
which
really
is the
just the
jurisdiction.
The spectrum of a child's
exactly.
life.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. we get children who actually are born and we're referred to them at the hospital, in mm-hmm. fact. And then we have children who sometimes age out of our program, that either they don't have a permanent connection yet by the time they turn 18. We work really hard in those instances to make sure that there's something in
there's
place.
There's some transition, there's some path.
Exactly, so mm-hmm. that when they age out and the system isn't helping them so much, that they have someone they can rely on.
Okay, great. Now, remind us one more time, Ruthann, where can people learn about the CASA programs in our region?
Our website for our area programs is metrorichmondcasa.org.
And the information on your upcoming superhero run is where?
Is at casarun.com.
And Linda, before we close, we have just a minute left. Is there anything you'd like to share about your experience as a CASA volunteer and what it's meant to you?
I have found it to be very rewarding. I've certainly met a lot of interesting people and the other volunteers, the CASA staff. The one thing I would point out is that, you know, the volunteers are women and men and retired and still working, mothers with children. Sometimes couples do it as a couple. They take a case as a couple and work it.
So really, anybody who has the passion for serving children can be a volunteer.
Right. And you do control the amount of time some degree, other than court hearings and mm-hmm. Meetings, because the children are in school during the daytime. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like you need to be retired to be making your visits and that kind
right.
of thing.
So it could work for a lot of different folks.
Absolutely. As long right. as people have flexible schedules, we can work with them.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, again, I really appreciate you being here with us today. That was Ruthann Cutright of Chesterfield CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates, and Linda McDonald, one of her dedicated volunteers with CASA. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And before signing off, I just want to say thanks to WRIR's dedicated volunteers like Andrew Hawes for engineering today's show and Jesse Johnson for working on the board. If you want to learn more about us, you can always visit the WRIR website, which is wrir.org. My name is Elaine Summerfield. You've been listening to Inspire Indeed. I hope that you have learned something new on the show today and that you're ready to go out and make a difference with your needs.